This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy, gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Olive Magazine podcast. My name is Laura Rowe and I'm the editor of Olive and your host for this week. Today's episode actually is a really special one. It's dedicated to our new contributors, Laura Jackson and Alice Levine, who are featuring in our June issue, which is out on the Friday, the 19th of May. I popped along to their publisher's office in London to talk about food, obviously, being the perfect dinner party host, and sexless marriages, kind of. Listen on to get what I mean. Hello, I'm here with Laura Jackson and Alice Levine. You might otherwise know them off the telly and radio, and in Alice's case, off the extremely funny My Dad Wrote a Porno podcast. But this pair have also become famous on the foodie scene for their laid-back supper clubs. This month, their debut cookery book, or should I say dinner party rule book, Round to Ours, is released, and we've been lucky enough to get an extract in our June issue. And today, we're here to talk about being the perfect breezy hosts. So hello, ladies.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. So let's start at the beginning. How did you guys meet? And how did Jackson and Levine come about?
So we met in the way that most amazing duos meet, mm-hmm. at a charity jumble sale, and we both had bum bags on.
Sure.
And
Mel and Sue had the same story.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Wise, all the big days.
And the Dex.
Yeah. And you were running a rival stall to mine. Mm. I say running, you were just sort of not doing
I was hanging off the side of the table, trying to sell like cat shirts and dungarees to anyone that would walk past.
For 5p, yeah.
All of that. You actually bought a lot of it yourself, which is a good business plan. I should have seen from the beginning, actually. Laura wasn't working very hard. She was spending lots of money. I was like, I should have seen this as what it would be like.
I think I left with more than I brought.
Okay, that's always a good sign of it.
You know when you go into a car boot and you're like, why am I bringing home way more?
Why would we have to buy a car? Yeah. So we met there and we started talking about cat shirts and dungarees, but also about food, because there was a stall that was selling chili con carne, wasn't it? Little tubs, and we went and had some chili together on our break. And we started talking about food, and we lived in the same area, so we were like, oh yeah, I like that place. Oh yeah, have you been to this place? And we're talking about kind of food that we like to cook ourselves as well. And so then we went on a bit of a friendship date, didn't we?
Yeah.
We went to that Scandinavian... Do you remember that Scandinavian furniture shop that sold coffee, but it wasn't really a cafe?
And you were like 45 minutes late.
And I live right around the corner. Keep them treat me and keep them keen.
Yeah. I know, I should have known that, shouldn't I?
All the signs were there.
Oh. I think we both really liked food, talking about it, eating it, making it. And I don't know, it was a time where the cool food scene hadn't really yet exploded, but we obviously had jobs in television and radio, and we wanted to kind of broaden our work horizons.
Yeah.
So we talked about how we could, I don't know, do something together in food. So we were going for lunch, like Alice said, courting in a non-lesbian way each other. Alice was late, I was waiting. and we thought, well, why don't we... We started cooking for each other at home after that, so I'd go to Alice's and she'd cook for me and she'd come to mine and I'd cook for her. God, we kind of dated. It's really weird. We it's never
not,
kissed.
Not kind of dated. We dated.
We dated.
We were in a sexless marriage for a long time.
This reminds me of my mum and dad. So we just thought we wanted to do something with food and we thought, well, why don't we extend for, I don't know, just cooking for each other to... cooking for other people.
Yeah.
So we decided to...
We didn't really know what it was. The word supper club had been bandied around, hadn't it? We didn't really know what that was, but we were like, that sounds quite nice.
We liked the word club because it meant going out, and we also liked the word supper because it meant food. Yeah. So two Makes of our favourite words together. And club supper didn't sound right.
I loved a club, as you know. So I just...
S club had already been taken.
Yeah.
S club two.
All of the big names.
Yeah. Okay, so was it easier with strangers, harder with strangers? Did it make you be more adventurous with strangers?
How I feel like you should say running a supper club.
In the supper club scenario.
This is at the S Club now.
Yeah, how rumours start.
Yeah.
It was definitely a challenge. It was kind of supposed to be a challenge because, like Laura said, we both had jobs which we weren't completely in control of because TV and radio can be a bit erratic and I just started working at Radio 1 and I was the new girl and felt a little bit out of my depth. You... said yourself at the time, you were like, I've not got loads going on. I want something to be like, you know, dig my teeth into. So it was supposed to be a challenge and it was a really big challenge, wasn't it? But the first one was friends of friends and some friends and some friends of those friends as friends. And so that felt like a nice soft way to kind of go into it. But we just got a real thrill out of it, didn't we, after the first one? And we sort of said, we're not going to plan too far in advance. We'll just say, we'll do another one, and then we'll do that and see what we think, and then we'll do another one. And then it's been four long, arduous years.
Yeah, it's gone by so quickly. But I think because at the time when we started, no one was really doing anything like we were doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was the Clove Club, and they had their pop-up above the Ten Bells.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really anything that was kind of entertaining-y and girls and fun that wasn't about healthy eating or well-being or, you know, faddy.
Yeah.
We were just two girls that, weirdly, we invite people around to my flat, we cook for them, got them a bit drunk, and then we sent them packing.
Yeah.
So we kind of, I don't know, I think we hit at a right time.
Yeah, everyone else were chefs, really, weren't they?
Yeah.
We're very, very much home cooks, not chefs. And I think that was a thing that we made clear from the get-go, mainly because we didn't want people to get their hopes up too much. We were like, we're not chefs, just don't come expecting.
We did say 1 year, though, didn't like 1 year, one supper club. If it all goes wrong, I mean, it would be all right to get pizza. We could get a pizza. We could
good
jazz
pizza
it up.
Delivery.
There's great pizza. Yeah.
So. Truffle oil in the back of the cupboard somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Domino's pizza.
I like that.
Boom.
But it was all about entertaining, and I think it still is. I think the essence of the book is that it's fun, and it's about... Yeah. social gatherings and about not putting too much stress on yourself in the kitchen. We, like, you know, we keep saying we're not chefs, we just really enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
And there's so many times when we've been doing Jackson Levine, when we've been cooking for each other, when we've been cooking for our friends, that it's gone horribly wrong. Give somebody a pint of wine, a bag of, you know, peanuts, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So I think that...
Because it is just food. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we spend a little... Because we're lame, like, we spend a lot of time thinking about how it's going to look and what napkins we're going to use and, like, where we're going to find these, like, mini courgette flowers from, and that's all really fun and, like, we really like it, but that's obviously not every night of your life.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing that on a Tuesday when we got home from work at 8 p.m.
Shattering my illusion.
Yeah, Laura. What have I said? I've said too much. Oh, God. Edit this out immediately. This is fake news.
Yeah.
But I think on those occasions when you want to make a little bit more effort or, you know, take your, I don't know, laundry off the radiator and judge the flat up a bit.
Yeah.
It is nice to have somebody say it can go wrong and that's fine. Because I think so often everything looks really, especially on Instagram and stuff, everything looks really glossy, doesn't it?
Yeah. So how would you describe your food then?
Slapdash.
Okay.
It is a bit slapdash. Yeah. I think it's why neither of us are amazing at baking, because we're not very good at...
Oh, we've got no patience.
We're not scientists, so we don't waste
stuff. We'll start something and we'll start chatting about something, and then we'll be like, oh my God, this thing's in the oven.
You're quite good at being like, oh, left the sugar. Oh, it'll be fine at this point. It's fine to go in now.
I love making stuff from nothing. I mean, my dinner last night was absolutely nuts. I have jarred and tinned beans coming out of my worth it because my boyfriend's vegetarian.
Yeah.
But last night I made like this weird curry with peas and like beans and literally whatever I got in the cupboard, and John was like, "What's in this?" I was like, "Just everything we had
left."
Don't
really know.
And
yeah,
it's actually quite nice. Like I do kind of, I don't know. I think we both always like we've got nothing in the cupboard, so we're literally scrapping around for each other.
Laura's got a you're very creative, and you've got a rhubarb glut at the moment. So I feel like everything you're like, "Do you want some rhubarb with it?" I'm like, "No, no more rhubarb."
No, I gave you some to take home, and she left it at my house. I found it rotting the other day under my table.
Yeah, no, I just found it in my handbag. I think it's good to be able to magic something from nothing. Yeah. I'm not as good at
One of the sections in the book is called, is it Magic Store Cupboard?
Yeah.
I love that. That's exactly how we cook at Olive. It's kind of finding great ingredients that maybe you have to go and search for, but once you've got it, that'll transform
and all your dinners. People often say to us, like, "Oh, you know, I can't afford to spend a fortune on, like, judgy ingredients every week." And actually they're the things, and we say in the book that they're nice things to get for people for presents or to ask for as presents, and they last for ages, so it's more that they're there as your backup. So when you've got I don't know, if you're just having an omelette or cheese on toast or avocado on something, they're the things that will make it pop and make it actually something extraordinary rather than ordinary. And that doesn't have to cost a lot.
No, and you'll use less of it. So if you buy a really good olive oil, you only need a few drops, whereas you're buying a flavourless oil, then you're going to need loads.
Buy cheap, buy twice, Laura.
Yeah, exactly. But like hampers at Christmas are always really nice things to make for people, and they're so bespoke, and you can really... I remember one of my first boyfriends worked at M&S, and he used to make a hamper for every member of his family every year, and he put in things that they would like. And really, I think that we're really... That's come back around, hasn't it, over the last few years?
Actually thinking about what you're giving someone rather than just dashing out last minute,
And I just think it's really, like... You don't need to have a lot of everything. We're not saying have one of everything in our in the store cupboard, but just having like a really good rose harissa, like a really good olive oil, a really good like a truffle oil. And you can buy the really small ones, and I just think those simple things just really just like oh my god, what's the word? Accelerate. I can't speak today.
Yeah, accelerate.
For instance, like just having a bowl of like new potatoes and having some pistachio oil, you go from like really normal and really boring to something that's like, "Oh wow, this is interesting, this is quite exciting." And always having loads of nuts at home is always is always the one. Although I eat far too many, I bought one of those big bags of cashews and I was like,
they are
I'm
dangerous.
Going through these like sweets.
That's fine, probably better than sweets, maybe. So in the book, you start off with kind of giving your entertaining tips, but you start off with music, which I thought was really interesting. So is that kind of, is that your starting point when you think of, where do you start with when you plan a supper club or a dinner party? Is it one dish and you think, "I'm going to plan it around this," or is it a theme, or is it a location, or is it a playlist, and then you make the food to the music? Where do you begin?
Start?
It's normally seasonal, so I think that if we're going to do something, and I say, for instance, we did one in last summer, and that was it's summer, so we need to think about, do we want outdoor space, what's the weather going to be like, what are the ingredients that we can use, how are we going to kind of, is everything kind of falls into each other, but I think seasonality first and then venue. So when we're not doing it at the flat, because I moved out last year,
beautiful
place on earth.
Then we have to find a venue that will do flat justice, really, because we had some really great times there, and we'd had some really great supper cups. So now I think we're a bit of a venue snob. So we're like, no, it won't do.
Yeah,
it won't
we've been
do.
Spoiled.
Yeah. So venue, and then obviously then with the venue, it's how many people that we want. But you don't want to have an amazing venue and not fill it.
But music, I suppose, comes quite far down the line. I mean, it doesn't, because we listen to music all day long whilst we're writing our ideas down and hanging around together and prepping it all. So music's always there, but the music for the night...
it's quite last minute, to be honest. I think we have our favourite tracks, and we have the music that we listen to, and we have playlists, and we've always got about... I think we've got like four round towards playlists, so I think...
And we roped John in, Laura's other half, who has collected... records for all of his years on the earth, so he's got
very
an amazing
handy.
Northern Soul library, essentially. So as much as we'll sometimes stick a playlist on, we're more likely to be like, "John, do not move from that record player. That is your job tonight."
Resident DJ, please.
Exactly.
Okay, and so where do you get your inspiration for the food? Is that with the seasons as well, or do you have kind of different cultures or regions that you look to
all over, everything. Don't we? We read so many different publications.
Olive Magazine, maybe?
Of course.
Olive Magazine. Yeah. What did you tell us to say? Olive Magazine is our favourite. Yeah. We do not read anything else. No, we do. We love a bit of Olive Magazine.
Good.
And we love Instagram for that stuff too, because that's such a really...
Yeah.
It's visual.
It's so visual. It's a really easy place to kind of screen grab that, or, you know, save that for later. And that can be really good content when we come together and...
Just eating out. We eat out a lot. And we go to a lot of restaurants, and we travel with work. We travel in our personal lives.
Yeah.
If I ever get invited to a dinner, the first thing that I do is go online and look at the restaurant menu. And we both like collect menus like whenever we go away. And I think
that's really useful, actually, because you've been doing that for a long time. So then Laura's got this like crazy dossier, which can be really good.
I had to get rid of some. John, my problem was like, there's too many. But yeah, I did a big America trip, and I took menus from everywhere, and then. I think, like, when you went to Lisbon, Alice, we always just basically have got loads of ideas, and we'll come together, and we'll get really excited, write them all down, and then we'll kind of make a shorter list of 100 ideas. We're doing a dinner, actually, in a few weeks' time. And, it's really nice because you always think, oh, these are really great ideas, and then Alice will give me her ideas. I'm like, oh, they're really good. And then I'll make notes on hers, and then she'll be like, oh, my God, that's really good. So two heads kind of are better for one when you're brainstorming, because we've got loads of ideas.
Yeah, well, you've made it so simple for everyone else because you've got all the menus ready.
Yeah, don't deviate from those 24 menus. No. That's all you need.
They're very, very simple. Mm-hmm. So have you got any rules as well for when you're planning a menu? Do you think, right, I need to have... dishes that only have, say, 5 or 6 ingredients, or they're not going to take a certain amount of time, or is it more just about how great it's going to taste?
Main rule, I think, if you're cooking for a lot of people, is I wouldn't have a hot starter and a hot main and a hot dessert.
That's a good tip.
I would just have one hot main, so you can have a starter that is a salad, like, I don't know, a panzanella, or just something that's just super simple that can be pre-made before people arrive.
Yeah.
Then you can concentrate on your main, and then it means that you're not away from the table while your guests are there.
Yeah.
And then for dessert, I mean, like a tart or a tort or a cake, having that kind of cold, because then you could always warm it up in the oven for 5 minutes and serve it with
ice cream.
Cream's
really good that we did, the no churn one, so that's quite a good secret weapon.
Right.
I think as well, thinking about being plentiful with stuff, because actually there's nothing worse than mean portions. So,
Oh, but going to someone that you don't know, oh, could I have another? Oh, okay, no worries, it's fine.
And that, I mean, that can be, you can deal with that in simple ways. Like we always say, if you're running behind and people are starting to arrive and you're thinking, I haven't done a canapé, or I haven't done a starter even, or like, you know, what am I going to do? I've focused on doing this great main. Like really nice bread and butter is great.
Really great.
So great. And I think it doesn't always have to be something really extravagant.
Don't cook something you've never cooked before. If you've got like 10 people over for dinner, it's not the time to kind of experiment. Don't be hesitant at that point in time.
No.
Yeah, I'm just going to do something with some like mist, or
a swirl or something. Brilliant. So, have you got any kind of other major top tips that you think our readers should adhere to when they're doing a dinner party?
Well, because our nights are as much about the atmosphere as the food. So, the food's obviously really important, and we would never want anybody to leave and A, not be full, or B, think that they've not had a nice supper.
But you see on Instagram, they've been at McDonald's after your
straight to Chicken Cottage. I think, you want to make sure that your setting and the atmosphere of the room and everything does justice to what you've prepared.
Yeah. And the book gives loads of great tips on that as well. And you don't just give kind of general advice, you give specific places you can get stuff from.
Yeah.
And that's really useful.
And I think that's definitely one thing is we love tableware and we love... Yeah. all of those things. So there's stuff where it's like, if you are into that and you want to buy some bits and pieces, there's some things that can really work hard for you.
Yeah.
But also little things, like there's a bit in the book where we talk about lighting. It's like, don't have the middle light on. Don't have big light on.
Yeah.
Don't have any overhead light on. Always have down lighting.
It doesn't need to be Blackpool Tower, as my dad.
No, it's like you're not eating at a dentist.
Yeah.
And like in Denmark, they don't even, like, I've been to a few houses there and they don't even have like lighting on the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's all lamps. I just think it creates a really nice ambiance.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you're not walking in and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like candles, really important. You can buy some great taper candles online in different colours, or like beeswax candles that kind of give off a really kind of nice glow. Or we're doing an event actually tonight. We're using LED lights. We'll see how that one goes.
Wow, okay.
That might be in book two as well. And then music, like not too loud, so people are like, shouting at each other, it's but not so quiet. Yeah. No, yeah. It's not
until later on.
It's not escalated. Yeah.
And then not like, you don't want to kind of be playing Rihanna at your nice dinner party, no. Do you? There's a time and a place. And actually, we've got some amazing tips.
Even though
on
you
playlists.
Always put on Rihanna.
Is that sleigh jams? Only sleigh jams.
Only sleigh jams. Yeah. We've got some great ideas for playlists because, you know, there's times where you've got no time before people arrive, yeah. And you hear the knock on the door and you're like, ah! So just film playlists are something that we really love.
Really like soundtracks, yeah.
Yeah, Amelie, Drive, Breakfast Club.
Nice.
Taking them all away for free.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. There's more in the book. £25 yeah. From Quadrille.
Spent ages writing that. I think the other, like, it sounds so obvious, but making people feel like they're welcome, so yeah. Their glass is topped up, yeah. You're not kicking them out at 10 o'clock, they have somewhere comfy to sit, all of those things where it's easy to maybe run out of time and not have a tidy of your living room or whatever, but I think all of that stuff actually makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they've come to see you, like that you're not a hired chef that is cooking for them for the evening, so trying to have stuff ready in advance just so you can sit down and enjoy it with people, because if you're stuck in the kitchen, sort of defeats the purpose, and you don't want to feel strung out by the end of it and ready for people to
washing
go home.
Up like really angry like, oh. But also nobody knows what's on the menu apart from you, so if you miss something off. Or, I mean, there's a time where we forgot to write a course.
I did.
Alice forgot to write a course on the menu. And
surprise course.
It was a surprise course, but nobody knew. And we were both like, oh, that's annoying. But nobody knows. Yeah. The only person that is going to be hard on you is you. So just don't worry about it. Enjoy
still
it.
Still kicking myself about it.
She's never allowed to go near the menus again. So
okay. Lesson learned. Okay, so what's next for you guys? Then you've got a gorgeous book out. So Jackson and Levine, Round to Ours. You're doing more supper clubs to promote that. What else is going on?
That is our life at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Habitat.
And that is also our life, but not just, yeah, June. That's the next thing that will happen. We've designed a linen range with Habitat.
Gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, table and kitchen linen, which we're over the moon about because we love Habitat.
I also got your linen love from the book as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and you love it.
Love it. Yeah. And so we've been talking to Habitat for years and years, and they were really helpful to us when we did our first ever supper club and just really... generous when we didn't have enough knives and forks and things and one glass between 20 people. So we've been talking for a long time and this just felt like really good planets aligning where they were looking to do something and we had been hinting for... You know,
we'd sent really subtle hints like, we would love to work with you. Why aren't you getting back to our emails?
Unless you're on a long weekend away, we could come meet you there and talk about the idea. So whenever I said, do you want to meet? We'll come to you. So, yeah, we're really pleased with it. And, yeah, beginning of June is when people can see it.
Amazing.
We designed an apron that we're really proud of. It's really lovely.
So exciting.
Yeah, and it's kind of like it crosses at the back. Beautiful. Did you ever see when... Carrie Bradshaw went to the Hamptons and she had that pinny on that she wore as a dress. It's kind of like that at the back.
Beautiful. So I like the inspiration sounds great.
I mean, it's news to me, but
she didn't know that at the time.
Cool, so it sounds like you've got loads going on then.
Enough to keep us busy for the time being.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, well, thank you very much for talking to us.
Sorry.
We love the book and we love the recipes.
We love the mag.
Thank you. We didn't pay you to say that, honestly. Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Massive thanks to Laura and Alice, the perfect hosts and podcast guests, if you ask me. If you like the sound of today's episode, don't forget to review and rate us as always. It takes seconds and means even more brilliant, engaged, happy listeners like you get to hear us rambling on. And remember, you can tweet, Instagram, Facebook us as well to tell us what you think. And if you love food, drink and travel as much as we do, remember you can subscribe to this podcast for free so you never miss an episode. You can get the latest issue of Olive in all good stores now, or download via our digital app and Apple News, or you can visit our brilliant website olivemagazine.com for loads of new recipes, restaurant and hotel reviews and more every single day. Happy eating, happy cooking, happy listening, and we'll see you next week for more Hungry Chat. Bye!